Welcome to Eggnogs and Yule Logs, a magical adventure through the landscape of this year's Hallmark Movie Channel's Countdown to Christmas. I'm your host, Mark Hahn, and with me today is...
Melissa Gerber.
Melissa, thank you for being with us today and bringing us a new perspective on Hallmark movies.
Of course, I'm a longtime fan, first-time podcaster.
Okay, so speaking to that, I want to know, do you have some background that you can give us on your experience with Hallmark movies?
Not necessarily Hallmark movies specifically, but I did live in Los Angeles for over 5 years. My husband is a screenwriter, so I'm very well-versed in Hollywood and what is and isn't Hollywood. I've done some backlot tours. I think they film a lot of these shows on those lots. And I also, my favorite movie is Mean Girls, and one of the characters from that is in a lot of Hallmark movies.
Yes, she is. And in fact, I think later on this year, we're going to see that she might have the highest McKellar count of all time.
Oh, that gives me something to look forward to.
We will hang on to that actress later on. So let's get to it right now. Melissa, do you have a 60-second synopsis of today's movie, My Christmas Family Tree?
I do. Are you ready to start the timer?
I am ready to start the timer whenever you are ready, and go.
All right, this is about Vanessa, who works at an orphanage and is an orphan herself. She takes a DNA test, one of those popular ones we've all probably taken, and she's matched with her paternal father. This is a surprise to her because, like I said, she's an orphan. She contacts him on Facebook, and he's obviously shocked and has to tell his family. They decide to meet up in New York City, and when they meet, he invites her over to Christmas. She says, I don't really have a way to get there. He says, you're in luck. There's a family friend that can drive you. Family friend comes to pick her up. He's actually very cute. They enjoy the ride back to the house. It's still unclear at this point why family friend is also going to the house. This is several days before Christmas. They spend about 3 to 4 days together as a big family, and they're enjoying each other's company when all of a sudden Vanessa starts getting phone calls from the agency, but she ignores them. Finally, she answers them to find out that there's a mix-up with the DNA results. More on that later, maybe not. And then she decides to tell the family during a Christmas photo shoot. And on Christmas Day, she throws a fit, leaves, goes back to New York City, only to find out that the DNA test results were actually correct, and nobody understands why the agency was confused in the first place.
Wow, all of that done off the cuff so quickly.
Completely off the cuff.
How did you store all that information in your head? I will never know. That was amazing. From Hallmark's official description, when Vanessa receives the results from her family tree DNA test, she discovers a family she didn't know existed and travels to their home for Christmas. I have to say that the official website one just does not do it justice quite the way you did. Now, our cast has Amy Teagarden as Vanessa, Andrew Walker as Christopher, and James Tupper as Richard. Their McKellar counts are a little bit interesting here. So Amy Teagarden is fairly new to Hallmark movies. This is only her second Hallmark movie. Andrew Walker, though, do you want to take a guess on what his
McKellar count is? Is that Christopher or is that the dad?
That is Christopher. You are correct.
I'm going to say, you know, I don't recognize him from any of the ones I've been in, but if Vanessa has a low one, let's go with 4 films for Christopher.
19.
Wow, not even close.
19. I'm starting to think that what they do is they'll take a relative newcomer and pair them with a crafty veteran who's been around for quite a while. How about James Tupper, who plays Richard, the father?
The dad, yeah. Again, I don't really recognize him, but it seems I have no grasp on these. So let's go with 8 films for him.
Oh, so close. It was 9. Very Dang. Nicely done there. Absolutely.
Okay. And how about the mom? Did I recognize her? No.
So I did not get a McKellar count for her, but you're right. She has a face that makes me feel like she's been in some things.
Yeah.
I just didn't have it. Mm. So let's get right to it with our categories. Do you have some Baywatch moments here?
Yes, I did write down a couple different Baywatch moments, but I'm going to narrow down to 2. One is kind of silly, and then one is Just really great. So I'll start with one where you have to cheer. It's when Vanessa gifts the family with the new Santa inflatable. It's just we're so happy. Everybody, I mean, you think that there was a money problem in that house, the way that they were excited about that inflatable.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you look at the size of that house and then the fact that they were getting that, like between the size of the new Santa and the fact that he was always repairing it with duct tape, it didn't make sense.
And it didn't seem like there was an emotional value because they were very fine with a new one coming in.
Yeah. What do you think happened to the old one? Did he get buried in the backyard or just ceremonially burned?
Probably burned. Maybe in the air fryer that she bought.
That was kind of weird.
It was very weird.
As a gift. I had the one I enjoyed was when Vanessa's friend, whose name escapes me right now, she goes, "Is he a relative of yours?" When talking about Christopher, and I'm like, oh yeah, she knows the score here.
Yeah.
She's probably been a friend in a lot of these movies because she knows.
That's right.
What do you have any other ones for us?
Well, the other one I would say is just the overall message that the most important tree in life is the family tree. Oh. I mean, that makes me want to stand up and cheer. So
yeah, was he saying that when they were kind of finishing up caroling?
I don't remember when it came
maybe
in.
Maybe later. Yeah, he said that exact thing. The most important tree is our family tree.
Yeah.
So right on that.
It might have been while they were chopping down a tree, literally.
Could have been.
They did that too. That was a very eventful week.
Yeah, a lot going on in their household. Yeah, the only other one I had was when she walks into that house and she goes, "God, it even smells like Christmas in here." Do you have a house that smells like Christmas?
I do actually, because I bought a candle and I just let it burn all day. And
all day.
So, yeah. You're not supposed to do that, you know.
To leave it running all day.
Correct. I think there's like a 4-hour limit on candles.
But you are able to work from home in your job with us as a software engineer, right? Correct. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Let's go to our heartwarming moments. What do you have there for heartwarming moments?
Well, I would say the first thing is that family is family. There's no such thing as half sisters.
That's right. They do say that, right? When he's trying to explain this to his kids.
Yes, that's right. The mom, you're not really sure if the mom's going to accept her or not, but she really does right away and says, there's no such thing as half sisters.
I had that same nervousness when I was like, oh, how is the mom going to react? And of course she's the one that saves the day. And she's like, well, she's your daughter. Let's bring her here. That was really nice.
Right.
Yeah. I enjoyed when, especially at the end, when Vanessa looked up and she saw her own stocking above the fireplace.
That was really nice.
What a great moment. What else you got for heartwarming?
Sometimes being nervous means you really care.
That was when
she was coaching the little girl.
Coaching Amelia in her solo, right?
That's right.
Yes. That was great. That was one of my other ones too, was when she was helping Amelia with the singing. And that's kind of how she and Amelia get their, get over Amelia's kind of reticence with her right at the beginning. Do you have double entendres or double entendres?
Yes, I have quite a few.
Do you really?
Yes.
Oh, that makes me happy.
Let me see here. Some of these aren't appropriate. Let me skip and see if I can remember exactly what it was. Well, when they're reading the results of the DNA test, I think Vanessa says she's 4% Brazilian, and her friend says that explains a lot. I'm not really sure what she's going for there, but I want to know what it explains. That.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I think at one point, Christopher, I think it's so funny in these movies that they all open the door and then they close the door too. Like I'm going to give you your privacy in this 10 bedroom guest house. And at one point, he just says, have a good sleep. Thought that was a nice little message he gave her. And I'm going to skip. But there was one where it's, where have you been all my life? I don't know if that's a double entendre, but actually it is, because they meant it as, where have you been all my life? This is a mystery of the family, but really it was more like, where have you been all my life? I love you.
That's right. Because they could have been around each other all this time, especially because Christopher was essentially another son in that family.
And the two dads were friends. This would have been the greatest love story of all time.
Right.
It might still be.
Yeah. Maybe they'll go back and do that do that one later, maybe next flashback. Year, 2022.
Maybe in some of their time travel efforts, they can go back.
Yes. When we get Leah Thompson and Christopher, why am I blanking on his name?
Lloyd.
Thank you. Yes, Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, good. I got
That's
it right.
You did. You did. Yeah, I did like the point where she was saying, well, I don't have any gifts for anybody. And Christopher says, well, I'd be happy to take you out tomorrow if you want.
Okay, I did write that down, but I couldn't remember the context.
Yeah, they're stumbling over it like, oh, no. And he's like, I mean, for gifts, blah, blah, blah.
But to that point, I just want to point out that they go, they buy these gifts, but then those aren't the gifts that are actually delivered.
Right, because we only see what the gift that they give to Amelia at the very end.
Right, but wasn't that where she gets like a coupon for a sleepover or something?
Yeah, exactly.
And then, but they had talked about getting her a gift card to a music store.
Right. I feel like, so you'll know this. Is this a line editor's job to go and make sure that everything has the same, like, that there's continuity?
That is a question for Charlie, but I think there is like a script keeper.
Okay.
Like, script editor, something, keeper of the script. I'm unsure, but I don't know if it's that person's job. I think that's just the writer's job.
Okay.
Because
we're going to blame the writer on this.
Because
one,
I think a script editor or something of the sort would just like make sure that if they buy a red air fryer, that there a red air fryer is delivered.
And that remains in all the shots later on.
Right.
Okay. So he also at one point says, dating's the one thing I'm not good at.
Now, I wrote that too.
I'm looking at this guy going, shut up. If this guy's on Tinder, he is getting matches all the time. I mean, even I was kind of like, this guy's good looking.
He is a corporate attorney in New York City, single in his 30s.
Yeah.
He knows how to date.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
I know. Yeah. I wrote that down under the, under the Baywatch, because I was like, oh, come on. I'm going to stand up and cheer for this one.
Yeah. The last one I have is when Richard describes the first time he met Pauline, and it was because she was his nurse, and he says, she had me in stitches the first time we met. Oh God, that sounds like some kind of stupid thing I would have said. Okay. Did you get all your entendres out?
I did.
Okay. What do you have as far as lessons learned?
Well, I think one, you kind of touched on it when we're talking about Amelia getting ready for the concert, and it's that only women can dress girls, because really, Vanessa, when the mom was at work, it was like, Vanessa can only, like, thank God she's here, because she needs to dress the teenager for the dance and get this girl ready for the pageant. Like, nobody else is capable of helping in this house.
Right. Yeah, that was weird. Like, first of all, the teenage girl probably could have handled much of that on her own, and she probably could have helped Amelia.
I agree.
It was kind of convenient for the movie to have her there and
agreed.
Make and all like, that work.
And also, like, as soon as the mom promised that she was going to be back from work on time, we knew that mom wasn't going to be there, and we knew that this was going to cause a problem.
Right. That's like, what do they call that? Chekhov's gun. Or something like that. If they say, oh, don't worry, I'll be back. You're not coming back.
No.
Not happening. Yeah, I had that. And I was going to use this, but I'm not sure it even works anymore. Do you know the phrase, blood is thicker than water?
Yes.
Do you know that actually comes from the phrase, blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb?
No.
So that actually means the opposite
right.
of what we think it means. Exactly. So it's essentially your friendships, the people that you make these friendships with, those are thicker than the water of the womb than whom you were born to. And I was all set to be like, okay, well, she's not their family, but these friendships that they've made, that's thicker than anything. And then at the end, it's like, oh yeah, it turns out.
Yeah, she just leaves them in the dust and ruins the entire holiday.
She leaves him in the dust. And not only that, it's like, oh, hey, I found a picture of your mom. Now we can all get back together.
Exactly. And yes, I thought the ending was very unsatisfying.
Yes. I was like, okay, we've waited until about 1:48 here for like the true conflict to happen. How are we going to resolve this? Oh, it's just a picture that was airbrushed to look like her.
Right. And also, I will say, Speaking of like giving hints, I knew that Patty and Trisha were the same name. And I thought we all knew that that was the same name. But then at the end, they're like, oh my gosh, Patty and Patricia and Trisha and Patricia. I was like, yes, I knew that that was happening the whole time.
And they had pointed that out like in an hour before. Like
an hour before.
Yeah. We're going to come. You know what? We're ready to move into that, I think.
Okay.
Let's go into questions here. Do you have like questions, things that don't quite make sense about all of this? Go.
I have a very important question. What is, what year is that final scene taking place in? Because when she gets the gift of a sleepover in New York City with the couple, it's like, when was that gifted? Because if it was present day, that was really presumptuous that you're going to have a sleepover with this couple that at that point didn't exist as a couple. And again, to my point earlier, they planned on getting her a gift card to a music store.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot that it was a sleepover with them.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, are they all automatically living together?
Yeah.
If not, how are we going to explain this to this child?
And did you feel that he quasi bullied her into that first date too, where he was like, go out with me. Come on, say yes. And I was
it was romantic. I mean,
a little.
We haven't gotten into the steamometer, but like there's not a lot of steam. So that was exciting. And then, but I will say it was, I know what you're talking about. That's not the ice skating date though, where she clearly says she's never been ice skating and then is just casually putting on ice skates.
Yeah.
To go ice skating.
Yeah. And he looked like he didn't quite know what he was doing, but I looked that actor up and he was in a movie where he was an ice skating coach. So I thought that was bullcrap too.
Yeah.
However, one thing I did notice is like, man, doing an ice skating date, it's perfect. You like almost have to hold hands.
Oh yeah. They immediately held hands. And this is before it was romantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that was a good way of making that happen. Now also, okay. Did her DNA tests suggest that she was in any way Norwegian?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't think so.
There was a lot of Norwegian play though.
Yeah. So as I recall, it was mostly British and Irish. Of course, you talked about the Brazilian.
Yep.
There was some other stuff in there, but I don't remember anything about Norway. And all we heard was about how this dude, Richard, was totally Norwegian.
That's funny. Right? Yeah. And they're like speaking Norwegian at the table.
Yeah. And so I'm going, well, of course they're not related. Okay. So the show is telling us right away, they're not related. Fine.
Oh, wow. I really didn't pick up on that, but that is a major clue. And then how do we put it back together at the end?
Yeah. When it turns out, it turns out you guys are related.
Which leads me to my ultimate question of this film. Mm-hmm. What actually happened with the DNA test? Why were they calling her?
Right. Yeah. Because she never got a hold of them. Right.
Right. They had left a message, told her about the mix-up, but then they found out that the mix-up wasn't true.
Right. Is there another Vanessa out there who...
Well, they said there was. They said it's Vanessa Hall, another Vanessa Hall that apparently is the actual person.
Wait, is that the Vanessa Hall that's Brazilian?
Perhaps.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. So maybe... now I feel kind of dumb. Like, maybe that's what they were trying to tell us?
I mean, I don't know. The chances of, people are really worried about these DNA tests. Like, some people won't do them because they think, you know, they're going to. And it's like, you should be worried because apparently they can't handle names.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even using barcodes. You're just using first and last name.
Right. They can't get your name right. Don't worry about your double helix. That ain't happening. Exactly. Like, come on there. Well, and then I was thinking, like, he's trying to explain to the kids how she could possibly be his daughter. And he's like, well, I had a child with another woman. And the boy who's like sixth grade is like, I don't get it. Walks away. I'm like, what are you, a moron?
This isn't
that hard. I'm like, you don't have any friends at school with half siblings? Come on. maybe not in Connecticut. I don't know.
I was to say, they live in the perfect, like I said, 10 bedroom house. Santa inflates every year.
Yep.
Things don't go wrong. You don't have any foul play.
Yeah. And yeah, I actually wrote down LOL Barrington, Connecticut. Could you ask for a whiter sounding town?
I will say we probably have a little bias because we know what Barrington, Illinois looks like.
True. But doesn't it seem like every Barrington you've ever heard of is portrayed that way?
Probably.
I think they do that in Family Guy. Barrington is a country club that like everybody's wanting to go play at. Do you have any other questions on that?
No, I would just say one thing we noticed is that when he got the message from Vanessa, it was nighttime when he was installing the Christmas lights. And it wasn't until the next daylight that the kids were off at school and he brings it up to his wife. So we did notice that, you know, he really sat on that for some time before bringing it to his family, which I guess it's not that weird, but it was noted in our household.
Yeah, for sure. I think I'd be like, I need to tell you something. I don't know quite where to go with this, but I'm going to let you know right now.
Right. How could you sit alone with that thought for 12 plus hours?
Right. And how could you possibly sleep?
Right.
I'd just be like, hey, I need to tell you this so that we can get it all out and be done.
Yeah.
Let's move into the steamometer then. Is there anything in here that you felt was steamy? I mean, I saw one thing when they were outside. Okay, also, what was the distance or the time to travel from New York City to Barrington, Connecticut that they mentioned? Do you remember this?
I don't remember what they mentioned, but I have a bunch of New York City people in my life, and Connecticut is a place you travel. I would say 3 hours if I had to guess. Oh, but are you going to ask about stopping for coffee?
Yeah.
And getting served.
Okay. So, yeah, I have a lot with that one scene. I remember them saying 1 hour. Okay, even if it's two, you're going to stop, I don't know, on the perfect side of the road cafe. And the dude that served them is this actor named Tyler Hines. Now, Tyler Hines has a McKellar count of like 10. And he happens to play this villain in a TV show that I watch called Letterkenny. So when I saw him come up, I was like, what, was he just there on set that day? And they're like, hey, Tyler, we need you for like five seconds. But Andrew is wearing his shirt like two buttons down outside in the cold. Okay, now that was kind of steamy, but also kind of stupid. I don't know.
Okay, actually, you reminded me of something I didn't write down. But, you know, I'm from Chicago, where you're from. I live in California. I know what cold feels like and also what cold looks like. And they never looked cold, but they pretended it was cold there.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, as we go through more and more of these movies, I think you're going to be disappointed in their portrayal visually of cold.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone's breath yet.
Right. And it's like, they're all wearing the cutest outfit with their shirts unbuttoned, and that's just unrealistic.
Yeah. I had a super problem with that. That being said, I thought he was a little steamy there. 1 to 10. What's your steamometer here?
It's only a 2. In fact, I thought it was going to be a 0 going into this. I'm like, oh, there's no love at all.
Right.
But there was just one kiss between Vanessa and Christopher the whole time. So that's a 2 out of 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I only had it as a 3 only because, well, the steaminess of the shirt was about all it was. I'm going to tell you, if one kiss is disappointing, you're in for a real difficult time here on some of these. Did you have the time at when the first kiss was?
I don't have it marked down, but I know it was at the end.
1:58:02 out of 2 hours. Yep.
Wow.
That's where a lot of these kisses, I think, are going to be. All right. Finally, Melissa, out of 4 nogs, what did you give My Christmas Family Tree?
So it's funny to revisit my score, but I did give it a 3.5. I thought it was pretty good. I liked that it was not your typical love story, and I liked all the activities they were doing. It was very Christmassy to me. So I give it a 3.5.
3.5. Yeah, I gave it a 3. I did enjoy it. There were some things where I was like, oh, this is a little too on the nose. And partially, I feel like normally Hallmark hits you over the head with the plot. And the fact that we are still a little unsure about
Vanessa and
her lineage. I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't you guys. So I gave it a 3. I did enjoy it. There we go. Anything else to say about My Christmas Family Tree?
No, I think this was a good one. I think Also, we didn't really need, I was going to say in the beginning, there's a lot with the office and the orphanage and all that. We really didn't need this. This was quite long. I mean, to your point, we didn't get to the major plot points till about 1 hour and 45 minutes through. So I could have done without some of the beginning context.
For sure. And to your point on that, I feel like that was maybe originally supposed to be a, oh, see the symmetry here? She is putting kids into foster right. homes, and now she's essentially becoming a foster child or adopted by this family. And we didn't really get that from the film.
Right.
So you're right. And I think this is all about filling 2 hours worth of content and then putting all those ads in between.
That's right. And I will say, I appreciate you inviting me on this podcast. I found it very difficult to watch this show. I mean, it's not easy to find these on demand. In fact, my husband suggested that my in-laws watch it. And I was like, I'm not sure how they're going to find it, because Hallmark does not make it easy to watch these.
You're right. It is a little tricky. You either have to have the Hallmark channel, and even then you're lucky if you could find when it was on.
Right.
If you are watching in the, say, 2 to 3 days after it's been premiered, you can get it through their website. And like, I would imagine you probably watched it through Friendly, right?
I did.
Yeah. I mean, that has been a pretty easy way for us to do that. It is a subscription, and I'm not shilling for them, but I do find that to be an easy, simple way to do it. It's about, I honestly don't remember, but it's
six
like eight,
bucks.
$6 a month. And if you're into these movies, that's a perfect way, because you can say, oh, well, I want to record all these premieres and go and watch them whenever you want. All right, Melissa, thank you so much for joining us.
On yeah, this thank you for having me.
11 of Eggnogs and Yule Logs. Will we have you for some more movies?
I sure hope so.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it. All right, everybody, for Melissa, or wait a minute, let me do this correctly. I need to do this right. Here we go. Melissa?
Mark?
To the evergreen.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
To the evergreen.
To the evergreen.
That's it. All right, perfect. Everybody, we'll see you later.
See you next time.